Oh, sing it, sister. Sing it, sing it.
You'll never let me go.
What a song. Sing it, sing it.
Holding me now in your hands, I belong. You'll never let me go.
Thank you, Jesus. It's so wonderful living in your presence. Thank you again for visiting our worship and our gathering with your tangible presence. We're grateful. We're grateful. As it is written, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you choose to visit him? But it pleases you to do so because you put yourself, your very nature inside us. So we are actually one with you. And that is why you come and you fellowship with us and you honor us with your presence. You don't take it for granted. And we are very grateful. We go into the Word. And like we sang on Friday, if your presence doesn't go with us, we won't go into this Word. So we ask this same presence now, follow us as we go to share your Word, to open up, open our eyes to behold great and wondrous things out of thy law. Anoint me afresh that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. Let your Word flow freely from you, Father, through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words. Follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. And whenever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal. Power that will deliver. Power that will break yokes. Power that will free men. So enabling them to become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy. To be faithful to deliver the Word with precision. To redeem the time. And say only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this Word things new and old, even as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And all in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual lives, all agreed individually and said, amen. That was a beautiful, beautiful time of worship. You know, this is what I'm about to tell you. I have not experienced it before to this degree of tangibility. I don't know whether that's, my wife is a PhD in English, but I think you get the message. In other words, it's never been this tangible to me. Tangible is something you can actually sense or feel. There's a scripture, I think it's in Psalm 22. It's not my message. I just want to share something with you to let you guys know how much God loves all of us. Yes. It's Psalm 22, verse 22. It came to my heart when I had the experience. As we were worshiping, you know, as the choir was ministering, and as we were singing, and he said, yeah, and we're singing, so close, you'll never let me go. In my heart, I saw the Lord Jesus take me by his hand. Then the Holy Spirit took me by the second hand, and they began to just... And then the Father just sat down and he was looking. And I said, Lord, what's this? He gave me scripture. I would declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. This is quoted by Paul in the book of Hebrews to show he was talking about Jesus. He said, for both he that sanctifieth and they which are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name, character, my name, unto thy brethren, and in the midst of the church will I praise thee. It was a lovely experience for me. It was more than just a song. It was the Lord telling me. And it's not just me, it's for all of us. And that's why I'm sharing it. I've been permitted to share it. You know, Jesus got up. In the midst of the congregation, the Holy Spirit. And the Father was watching. Take it to the bank. He will never leave you. You are precious to him. Live with that reality. Live with that understanding in your heart. Don't live carelessly. Another scripture just came to me. It says, I will not leave you as orphans. I think the Amplified says that. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. It says, but I will come to you. And I will help you. We have a faithful God. That's not a religious cliche. It's a reality. And you can trust him. Three things. And then I'll go into my message. One, trust his character. He's a righteous God. He's a good God. God is good. Is a good person, very nice, reliable. He said, I'm not like men. I don't say one thing and then because of circumstances, I change it tomorrow. I am not a man that I should lie. Not the son of man that I should repent. If I've said it, I'm going to watch over it. He does. He really is like that. The judge of the whole earth who will always do what is right. See, when things don't look right, chill. God is good. The second thing you can trust in is in his wisdom. See, if he doesn't move the way you think, he knows better than you. And that's why he may be taking a different route. Different from what you may think. For he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. And his ways are not your ways. And his thoughts are not your thoughts. How can you try and figure God out in your small mind? That's why it has to be by faith. Number three, his power. He's able. He can do it. Not only he will do it. So rest. Rest in those three things. Rest in the knowledge of his character. Rest in the knowledge of his wisdom. Rest in the knowledge of his power. And anything that is agitating you, just you do what the scripture says. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continue to stand in prayer. So long as you're praying and the love of God is being perfect, is running through from spirit, soul, and body, and circumstances running through, you will be at peace. When you're not at peace, it means you're not praying enough. No matter what the problem is, if you're praying and you truly believe in God's character, in God's wisdom, and in God's power, you'll be at rest because you know He's going to sort it out. Amen. I have a very important present truth message for today. I downloaded it about 2 weeks ago. And I preached from this many times over the years. But this is different. You know, the Bible speaks about the manifold wisdom of God. And it's entitled The Five Stones of David. But it's not, I've preached this before over the years. But it's different from that, from what I preached before. Not too different, but different. As you will see as I go on. To give you a natural analogy of seeing things from different perspectives in the Word of God, I shared this truth many years ago. I believe the year was 1995, 1996, when we're entering the third day. And I taught about the manifold wisdom of God. See, the number 10, you can look at 10 from a perspective, speaking in an analogical, manner of 9 plus 1. 9 plus 1 is 10. But 8 plus 2 is also 10. That's a different perspective. It's still the same 10. 7 plus 3 is 10. 4 plus 6 is 10. 5 plus 5 is 10. They are all different ways of looking at the same number 10. It's a mathematical reality. I'm about to share something I've just been permitted to share now. But let me go on. And then you can go on to decimals. 5.1 plus 4.9 is 10. There is an infinite number of ways you can look at the number 10. It's still the same number 10. And then when somebody says, the only way to look at 10 is 5 plus 5. You just smile and say, you don't understand. Yes, 5 plus 5 is correct. But 6 plus 4 is also correct. So it's 5.1 and 4.9 and so on and so forth. Now I'll share what I've been permitted to share. All of us, and those of us who have done a little bit of mathematics, particularly higher mathematics, what we call differential equations and polynomials, which means that you have many solutions. Sometimes you have an infinite number of solutions. For those who've done just a little bit, you can just, if you take something to power 2, x squared, you have two solutions because the highest index in the equation is 2. If you go to cubic, it will be 3 solutions. If you go to x to power 10, there will be 10 solutions and so on and like that. You can have, in mathematics, we have what we call infinite series. So you can have x to power n, where n can go from 1 to infinity. Then you will have an infinite number of solutions. I'm going somewhere with this. I've been permitted to share it. When God says we are all to be conformed to the image of Jesus, we are all going to that one position, that 10, Jesus. But the trajectory of Olubi Johnson's life, maybe 5 plus 5. And the trajectory for Sarah Johnson's life, maybe 8 plus 2. They are both right. But the coefficients for each life is unique. You cannot use Olubi Johnson's 5 plus 5 to try and fulfill Boaz's destiny, which may be 4.1 and 5.9. All of us, we're going to the same place, Jesus. And I'll tell you the reason why I've been permitted to share this. In partial differential, well, let me just keep it simple. Ibrahim is laughing because he has a first class in chemical engineering or something. You know, so the people who have, you know, but I'm explaining it in a simple way that everybody can understand. You know, in differential equations and all of that, you know, when you solve the problem, you have what is called a general solution. So that general solution is what I've been telling you about. 5 plus 5 is 10, 6 plus 4. The solution is general, but you still get 10. But the way you determine what the coefficients are for we call it a particular solution. To get the coefficients for a particular solution, not the general solution. Now, what we have in the Bible is the general solution. Now, to get the particular solution for William Balogun must insert into the equation, so to speak, his own initial and boundary conditions. It is from that he can work backwards to get the particular coefficients, which may be 7.2 plus, you know, 2.8. I'm just using it as an illustration. We still get 10. For him to try and use Olubi Johnson's own, he's going to get into a mistake. So the Yoruba people have a saying, "Anfagwala go shishe." You see, that is why the Bible is a great book, honey. It says, work out your own salvation. Your own. Olubi is working his own out. Sarah is working her own out. Rhoda is working her own out. Kade is working his own out. William is working his own out. I cannot work your own out for you. All I can do is show you how I'm working my own out. Then give you the tools. But you must do your praying yourself. You must read your Bible yourself. You must walk in the Spirit yourself. Then you will get your own coefficients. And arrive at the same destiny. My 5 for 5 will become 10. Your 2.8 plus 7.2 will also become 10. It doesn't matter what your coefficients are, but you cannot get those coefficients if you don't put in your own boundary conditions, your own initial conditions, and work it out. I can't do that for you. I'm about to finish now. Wale is clapping because Wale, don't let me get on your case. I'm always making fun of him. You know, he's an engineer. And we like engineers, but we physicists are very proud. We always feel that engineers, anyway, we'll manage them. You know, they always have to be told what to do. We are the ones who now get the equation and say, this is what the one you will use. Oh, yeah, do it. That's the thing between physicists and engineers. But really, you know, when you put in those initial and boundary conditions, and the Lord said, I should share this. I've not shared it. You know, I've known this for many times. But he permitted me, said, no, share it. Because, you see, people are trying to copy other people's coefficients. It's not going to work. You have to work it your own out. Olubi's initial, I'm going to use myself, and boundary conditions are these. Born May 2nd. 1959 in Ibadan, location University College Hospital. It is unique. No other person on earth has that same boundary initial condition. The person could have been born 1 minute after me in the same UCH, but it will not be in the same hall. The location is unique. The time is unique. Every life is unique. From that point, the trajectory of your life begins to move. Then God intersects that trajectory with the new birth. And when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, and may you pray in the Holy Ghost. Not to pray in the Spirit is to lose yourself and your destiny. You now begin to forge out your own, what we will call in general relativity, that I would call a timeline. The timeline of every life is unique. And as you begin to work it out, you begin to get your coefficients. And He will bring you to the harbor of destiny. People can help you, but every man will carry his own burden. I'm going to stop and get into my message. Work out your own salvation. Selah. 5 stones of David. Follow me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. Am I talking to anybody here? Glory to God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. We all know the background. Because of time, I'm not going to start reading everything. David gets this place. Goliath is making a lot of noise. Watch this. Every man in Israel is afraid of him. The king, all his officers. What's him that fellow? Abner. Abner was Saul's chief of staff. Mighty warrior, great guy, you know, was afraid. Bible says all of them were so afraid. This guy was about 13 feet tall, powerful, unusual, the satanic nature, boastful. Send me a man. If I defeat him, you'll be your servants. You'll be our servants. And if he defeats me, and he knew they were afraid of him. David gets onto the scene, and here's the things. Watch this, Cowdy. Instead of instigating fear, it instigates indignation. Check your heart, too. He said Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. In this context, David had a different spirit. Instead, what Goliath was saying was bringing fear to all the other soldiers from the king down. But David had the same words. But instead of inspiring fear, or you don't inspire fear, instead of causing fear, it brought indignation. You know what he said? He said, "Who is this uncircumcised?" He didn't look at his height. He didn't look at his strength. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" You know what that means? Who is this Philistine that doesn't have a covenant? Let me paraphrase that further. Who is this Philistine who God is not on his side? The audacity to defy the armies of the God of Israel. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And I will take his head off and feed his body and the body of the army of the Philistines to the birds of the heaven, so that all the earth will know. Everybody give the Lord a clap offering. This is a day in which we as Christians must let all the earth know that the God of Israel is the only true God. They said to him, "You're a small boy. This guy has been a warrior from his youth. You cannot go and fight him. He's too strong. He's too powerful. Look at him. Look at you. You're probably, David was probably maybe 5'10", 5'11", because he was still about 17, 18. He wasn't even 20 yet. So he's still growing. You know? You can't go and fight this guy. It's too big. It's too strong. David said, I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to get to five stones in a minute. You know what he said? He said, when thy servant was looking after his father's sheep, a lion came out and took one of the sheep. He said, I followed after him and I delivered the sheep from his mouth and I smote him. He said, a bear came also and took one of the flock, one of the sheep, and I smote them. The God who made me kill the lion and the God that enabled me to kill the bear, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. If you don't have past experience, you cannot have future faith. I'm going to repeat that. If you don't have past experiences, you can't have future faith. So the people who have faith for more difficult things are the people who have had past victories. So they know that the God that... My wife and I were sharing the other day, you know, the God that has helped us. This one too, he will help us. So Saul says, okay, I'll give you my armor. You see, his words were so powerful and they were so strong. Words are spirit. Do you understand? When there's an atmosphere of fear and doubt, you can quell them with words of faith. The words of faith that David spoke subdued the fear that was in the hearts of the people. They couldn't argue with him when he gave them his testimony, by the word of his testimony. Hallelujah. He said they overcame him. He overcame that fear and doubt in the air by the word of his testimony. So Saul said, okay, if you're so sure and you know, and God has helped you, but okay, take my armor. He said he tried. I said, I'm not used to it. Don't use a method you didn't use in battle. Use what works in line with the word of God. So he said, just leave me. The same thing, watch this. The same thing I used to kill the lion and the bear. The same God who was with me is going to be with me. So he just went. Phew. Now let's go to verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him. Everybody shout, five rough stones. There's a reason. I'll come back to that. And took him five smooth stones out of the brook. What flows in a brook? Water. What is water a type of? The life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just drop this. You see, when the stones were initially inside the water, they may not have been smooth. But over years and over time, as the water, all our geologists and, you know, those in geography will tell you, over time, the moving of the water smoothened the stones. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling. It was a catapult. That's what Nigerians know. Was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. I could read all of this, but let me just paraphrase it. You know, Goliath was insulted. He said, am I a dog? Now you send this small boy. he's not 20 years old yet. This little boy, you know. And then he doesn't have any sword. He doesn't have any weapon. He come with catapult. Wonders will never cease. Oh. This is a small boy. He was so angry. He felt insulted that they could send such a person to him. The Bible says he cursed David by his gods. And he said to me, he said, come, I'm going to kill you now and give your flesh to the fowls of the air. Then David said, famous words, verse 45, to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come. Observe, David had nothing except the catapult. There was no sword. There was no shield. There was nothing. But there was a sword. And there was a shield. And there was a buckler. They were not physical. They were spiritual. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. I'm getting ahead of myself, darling. This stuff is so good, I'm about to take off. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. That's what David took. Operating Old Testament, New Testament, in Old Testament. He had an armor, but it was not one you could see. But he said it with his mouth. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day, will the Lord, not my sling, not my sword, not my shield. Oh, I can see some people can't sit down anymore. That's all right. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. That's old English. I will kill you. And take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know. Nigeria is about to find out that there's a God of Israel. The world is about to know that the Most High, the God of Israel, the same God of Israel, rules in the affairs of men. They don't know, but they're about to find out. You know, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know at first. He didn't know at first. But by the time he spent 7 years in the bush, and the word of the prophet came upon him, he said, at the end of the years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I lifted up my eyes, and my understanding returned unto me. And I now knew that the Most High God rules in the affairs of, insertion in brackets, of whom I am king, he is able to abase, because he has abased me. They are about to find out, because we are going to use the 5 stones of David. And all this assembly, verse 47, I didn't hear you. The church shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and the Lord will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. I like this boy. No hesitation. See, if you hesitate, the devil will get you. And he made haste. Nekashofredengarask. I'm coming. All this is a type and shadow. And you're going to see how it applies to you and I today. Ah, glory to God. What if I just said we should just close the service now and say, let the Holy Ghost show you the rest. You see, that's how Jesus used to do. He would just, and then it's when he gets home that please organ out. I won't do that. And he hasted
and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag. Say, David put his hand in his bag. And took thence a stone. One stone. With the other four supporting in the background. I'm going to interpret it to you in a minute. What the four stones are. And the one that he took out. Which one it is. And slung the stone. He put it in the catapult. He rolled it like that. And then he released it. And smote the Philistine in his forehead. I want you to understand something, folks. It was the Holy Ghost that directed that stone. You know, normally, how many people use catapult when they were children? I did. I don't know. You know, Nigeria has changed. I was a Boy Scout. I was a Wolf Cub. We used to make catapults, you know, you put it at, you know, and sometimes you see a bird or something and you want to kill it, you do like, bah! And sometimes the stone will just go to the wrong direction. So you have to be really good to be able to hit the thing, you know. Sometimes you have to do two or three times. So I know what it is for a 17-year-old boy to be moving to, you know, and that stone could have gone in there. It could have hit his chest. It could have hit the shoulder. It could have hit his ear. But when you got the Holy Ghost on your side, that is why praying in the Spirit, oh, I've let the cat out of the bag. It will go straight to the forehead. It went straight to the forehead. And commentators, medical commentators and, you know, Bible commentators have said over the years that when it hit Goliath, it was not what killed Goliath. It like stunned him and made him unconscious. And that now gave David the advantage. David now went up to him, took the Goliath sword, not David's own, and cut his head off. He smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. It doesn't say he died. Yeah, he fell on his face. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in his hand. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and slew him. Look, I slew him twice. You see, when the stone hit the guy, we know medical people will tell you here, it must have hit a nerve center or something that, you know, paralyzed him. And he was on the way to dying anyway. It's like a bullet. But it didn't penetrate to maybe like cause blood to come out. It wasn't like a bullet of today. So it killed, it stunned him. It deactivated his senses. So David now, the Holy Ghost, helping David, now got to the guy, then took the sword just to make sure. Glory be to God. And slew him. You know, like we said, you know, you make sure he's really dead. Graveyard dead. And then he didn't stop there, cut his head off therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Okay, let's leave it now. Now, this is all a type and a shadow of what we as end time Christians. David, I've got it all in my notes here. David is a type of the end time Christian. Goliath, the giant, is a type of the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, have you heard this before in the church? I want to do, Pastor, God knows my heart, but the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Have you heard that before? It's a giant that Christendom has not defeated down through the years. Now, people say perfection is not possible. They'll tell you that, so long as we're in this flesh, the flesh, which is practically, the sin nature in the mind, the will, the emotions, and the physical body, has dominated the church for so long. But there is a Davidic company, hallelujah, that are going to use five smooth stones.
I had to correct that. The Holy Ghost said, correct that. They are not going to use, they are using. It's present truth. It's not something that's going to happen. It's already happening as we speak now. They are using five small stones to kill this Goliath and kill the and overcome the influence of this Goliath over the nations that has kept the nations in bondage all of these centuries and millennia. During our Bible study this morning, I didn't even plan to say it, but I said it. You know, it came out in the Bible study. Look at how he sidelined Paul. Paul was going to go to Spain. Everything just scattered. From Jerusalem, it scattered. They wanted to kill him. So the centurion had to get him out. They got him to Caesarea. He now got to Felix and Festus and Agrippa. Those ones were influenced by money, you know. And instead of setting Paul free, they wanted to send him back to the Jews because they had given them money. Paul had to now appeal to Caesar. Had Paul not appealed to Caesar, he would not have had to go to Rome under the guard of a Roman centurion. All that would have been unnecessary. He would have not just gone back, you know, they would have just set him free. And then he would have just continued with his plan on his journey to Spain, to Rome privately, and then gone on to Spain. This beast, the beast is a spiritual, you know, the Antichrist is called the beast. But even before the Antichrist, find the book of Daniel, the spirits that govern the nations of the world, they are called beasts. Why? Because of their character. And the whore is the false religious system. The beast and the whore, I preached this many years ago, have kept the church in bondage. Let me correct that. Have kept the church ineffective. Have not allowed the church to grow and fulfill the fullness of their divine destiny. So you find that you see the influence of the church here a little, but you do not see us totally dominating the nations, as it is written in scripture, which we read on Friday. From Psalm 47. He said, he subdued the people under me. We haven't seen that. Hence this prophetic present truth message. The Goliath of the sin nature that has been operating in the soul, the body, the circumstances, the air, the prince of the power of the air, has raged for so long. And the whole church is afraid of him. Just like in the time of Israel. They're all afraid of him, but God has a Davidic company, who in private have fought with the lion and have killed them. They have fought with the bear and have overcome them. They are now coming out in public to fight with Goliath, and they will kill him. Then all the earth will know that the God of Israel, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Paul, the God of John, the God of Peter, the God of James, the same God, he hasn't changed, rules today in the affairs of man. Now, let's get to the nitty-gritty. Christians have victory over the world and the flesh to perfect the love walk. Let me just give you the scriptures that I wrote down here. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. Then in 1 John chapter 2 in verses 15 and 16, it defines the world. It says that, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are of the world and not of the Father. So when the Bible is talking about the world, it's not talking about Asia, America, and Australia. It's not talking about, you know, it's talking about the world system. And he's talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. I just quoted it, but I want everybody to read it with me. Say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I didn't hear you. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm going to tell you one
a secret. It's not a secret, you know. It's something that we should all be aware of now, is that a lot of Christians still love the world. That's why this warning is there. Otherwise, it would be superfluous. You know, we still love the lust of the flesh. We still love the lust of the eyes. What I can see, you know, materialism. You know, lust of the flesh, things like eating, sex. Sex is just one of it. You know, Satan has overplayed his hand with sex. He has magnified sex, you know, to try and, you know, they can't even advertise Fanta without showing a half-naked woman. You know? And, you know, grow up, folks. You should outgrow that. By revelation, you see that sex is good in the marriage context and all that, but it's not the greatest pleasure in the world. It's a lie. Do you hear me? I did an experiment. Well, it was not really an experiment, but I did something with my children when they were young. I think it was Itunu and I think they Dara, I can't remember. And I said, I think they were about 15, 16, you know, went to England to go and do their A-levels. That time we hadn't started A-levels in Lyford. So I said, they would want to deceive you to think that if you don't drink alcohol, if you don't smoke cigarettes or even worse things, you know, hemp, hashish and stuff, you know, and you don't have premarital sex, you can't have fun. I said, it's a lie. I've been a Christian now for many years and I have a lot of fun. So, and she understood what I said and she held it. So I think we went somewhere. I can't remember where we took the children. You know, my wife and I went some holiday, you know, and they had a big time, you know, enjoyed themselves, you know, nice hotel, ate good food, had great fun. And I said, did you have fun? I said, yes. Did you enjoy it? I said, was there any booze? No. Was there any smoking? No. Was there any sex? No. So I said, so you can enjoy yourself without those things. Their eyes open. Bing. You don't have to. You see, Satan is a liar. You don't have to sin to have fun. I'm going to repeat it. Especially for the young people. You don't have to sin to have fun. You can enjoy, you can have a lovely, great time without sinning in this sense, in the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And so, we need to understand that as Christians, everything Satan is promising is a lie. Ah, look at that girl, find something. You know, he's just going to kill you. And at the end of the day, God forbid, if you actually do, you now find out that it's not even as great as he said he was going to be. That's true. So how do you overcome this? Is revelation. You now begin to have the knowledge of good and evil without doing the evil. And then you now see the folly in the evil so that you will only choose the good without having to have tried the evil. Hallelujah! So, and you know what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16? He says, walk in the Spirit. The same thing. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're allowing the life of God, to flow from the Spirit into the mind, the will, the emotions, and into the body in sufficient measure and with sufficient force, you will discover you will be killing these Goliaths. You will kill the lust of the flesh. You will kill the lust of the eyes. And you will kill the pride of life. It's called crucifixion. I don't want to get off into that. But there's a thought that just pinged into me. He said, in Romans chapter 8, he said, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from law. He said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Watch this. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Watch this, honey. Condemned sin in the flesh. When you catch a criminal, at least in this part of the world and in some parts of America, now, who has been condemned, you execute them. Isn't that what you do? The flesh has been condemned. executed daily by the Spirit. Kill it! That's what you do with the stones of David. Kill it! There is no appeal. You see, watch this, Pastor G. Jesus died for you so that you will not be condemned. But the sin nature in you has been condemned. So God wants you to use the power of the Spirit to kill the sin nature in you so that you will not die. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. God has created, watch this, this man is so brilliant. His name is Jesus. Give him a clap offering, somebody. He pays the price for your sin. Then he condemns the sin nature that is in you. Then he gives you the power of his Spirit to kill it so that it won't kill you. So the thing has been condemned and is to be executed, but you can execute it without executing you. What? What a gospel. Another clap offering. Another. Only the wisdom of God. You can kill the flesh without killing yourself. But if you don't kill the flesh, then the sin nature in you will kill you. That's the truth, though. I don't believe in groaning. I don't believe in getting up a little bit. I don't believe in good money. I don't believe the flesh will kill you. Kill it! Every morning have a firing squad. And you don't have to blindfold him and tie him to the stake. Just shoot. And kill him. For the five stones of David. We're going to get there in a minute. Now, in the Bible, stones are symbolic of revelation. Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Jesus said, "Who do men say I am?" Peter said, "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to you, "But my Father which is in heaven," you know. And then he said to him, next verse, in verse 18, he said, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock or stone I will build my church, and the gates of hell," look at that, "will not prevail against it." Let's paraphrase that. "And Goliath will not prevail against it." Goliath will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So David goes to the brook and he selects five smooth stones. The word smooth is symbolic of clarity of revelation. It's smooth. There are no more rough edges. The crooked places have been made straight. The rough places have been made. The rough places have been made what? Smooth. See how the Bible uses symbolisms and how they fit by revelation. It's talking about clarity of revelation. But I'm going to tell you all the five in a minute. But the one that you throw, the one that hits Goliath's forehead, is the revelation of praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That is what kills Goliath. "If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh." But for that stone to be effective, it must have four other stones behind it. He takes that stone out of the bag. So all the stones are in the bag, the five of them. But he now takes that one with those other four in support. The reason why they've been in the river is to make it smooth. It is the life of God that you put into your mind, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. When the life of God, that living water, is flowing in your mind daily through life scriptures, through praying in the Spirit, you know, then the stone gets smooth. The revelation becomes smooth. And these are them. Number one, You need a revelation of the life of God itself. You know, most Christians don't know what the life of God is. And even those who know have a mental knowledge, sometimes they don't have a revelation knowledge of it. It is the very life of God. It is the very thing that makes God God. And you need to have a revelation of it. It is what is inside God that makes God God. Let me just leave that. Mercy. Mercy is the compassion that God gives to us by releasing a measure of his life from the air. That's why God shows mercy to all his works. How do you think men have been surviving all of these years, century and millennia, you know, who don't know God, and yet you still see the goodness and the mercy of God in their lives? It's God's mercy. The Bible speaks in Jude chapter 21, verse 21. It says, looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life. That's the second stone. The third stone is grace. The revelation of the grace of God. You see, grace of God isn't just, you know, you always say unmerited favor, which is not wrong, but it's not complete. But what does it result in? Psalm 30 verse 5 says, in his favor is life. The grace of God is what causes, the favor of God is what causes him to give you a measure of his life inside. Mercy is life from outside, on the circumstances, mind, will, and emotions from there. That's what they had in the Old Testament. But through Jesus Christ, say grace and truth came through Jesus Christ because of the shed blood of Jesus and the removal of the sin nature in our connection with God. We can now receive life on the inside. So we now have grace. The Bible speaks in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, you know, husband and wife are heirs of the grace of life. I discovered something. That the revelation of the life of God runs through the entire gamut of mercy, grace, and love. If you don't understand the life of God, you cannot truly understand mercy, you cannot understand grace, and you cannot understand love, which is the fourth stone. The fifth stone is the prayer. But the fourth stone is the love of God. You have a revelation, a smooth stone, a smooth revelation of the perfection of God's love, using the wisdom of God, using the compassion of God, and using the power of God, so that you will behave like God in every circumstance and situation. It takes time, but and you get better and better at it. So you are perfecting the love of God. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, you are perfecting the love of God. You have not perfected it, but you are perfecting it. That's what God wants. He wants us to be perfecting it on a daily basis. It's running its full course every day. More of the life of God flows into your spirit through the blood of Jesus. More of the love of God goes into your mind and your will through the word of God that you read and meditate upon. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is not envious. It does not boil over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. You know, it's ever ready to believe the best of every person. All that, if you keep doing it, saying it to yourself every day, and you keep thinking on it, and you keep reading it, seeing the example in the Bible of how Jesus treated the Samaritan woman at the well, it will begin to program you. So after a while, you too start behaving like that. Are you listening to me? And then, you know, the love of God will come through the word of God. It will come through the blood of Jesus. It will come through the word of God. And then praying in the spirit. When you pray a lot in the spirit, that life of God, that love of God will start working in your mind, in your will, your emotions, your body, your circumstances. When you're feeling irritated, that thing will just come and you will just overcome that irritation. And instead of acting selfishly, you will now act in love. You say, okay, take this money, give it to them. Help them with this. Help them with that. You yourself will know that I'm changing. It's a change from inside out. It's not from outside in. And as this takes, with this four in the background, when you now pray in tongues, that prayer will hit Goliath's head and it will kill him. See, the reason why a lot of the praying in the spirit has not been as effective as it should be is because the other four stones are not there. If the stone of revelation of the life of God isn't there, the revelation of the mercy of God is not there, The revelation of the grace of God is not there. The revelation of the love of God is not there. It is that fifth stone that should kill Goliath will not be able to come out the way it should and hit Goliath where it should. And that's why a lot of praying in the spirit has not been as effective as it should. And that is why the sin nature in the flesh has not been crucified to the degree that it should have been. Somebody was sharing with us recently, you know, about some born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you know, that behaved in a particular kind of way that you would not even expect a Christian to behave, even an unbeliever, you know. And it doesn't mean they're not Christians. They're Christians. Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Why? Because the sin nature has not been crucified. And even these people may speak in tongues, you know, they may speak in tongues, you know, like a typical Pentecostal Christian speaks in tongues maybe, you know, every day, but he might speak in tongues for 10, 15 minutes, you know, and that's it. You know, but no revelation of the life of God, no revelation of the mercy of God, no revelation of the grace of God, no revelation of the love of God. So the tongues that is coming out is not as effective as it should be. And Paul describes the situation graphically. That's why, folks, let's go there. And that's what I'm going to be closing with. I've talked about Ephesians 6:18. These two scriptures is what I'm going to close with. Let me first of all look at this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to look at those first three verses. And I want to look at them critically. When I say critically now, let's analyze what they're actually saying, so that we will not fall into the trap. And so our tongues will not be effective. He said, though, this is Paul talking. It was my late friend of blessed memory, Wale Adekoya. He preached this up from this in 1981. I can never forget it. Pa Elton came, you know, and we were in the auditorium in the Polytechnic. Wale was the president of the Polytechnic Christian Union at the time. You know, and, you know, we're friends. So he invited me and I went. And I remember him preaching from the scripture. He said, I said, Paul. He said, this was a revelation to Paul himself. It was a revelation to Paul himself. He wasn't just saying it, even though he was also writing it to other people. It was a revelation to him himself because Paul was a champion of tongues. Though I, Olubi, put your name there. I didn't hear you. Uh-huh. Put your name, let me hear your name. Uh-huh. Speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The noise is there, the sound is there, the power isn't. That's why a lot of tongues aren't working. Let me correct that. Because I'm teaching a present truth message. They're not working as effectively as they should. You see, that stone, this stone of prayer, which is the one that is coming out, that David releases from his sling, you know, that kills Goliath, has to have the other four smooth stones in the bag, which is your heart. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the one that came out is just one stone, but the remaining four stones must be in the heart. Are you listening to me? So what has happened is this. Many people are slinging one stone and all the other four stones are not in the heart. So the stone doesn't hit Goliath. Or it hits him and he doesn't do anything to him. Can you imagine what would have happened that day? For David to slow the stone and Goliath just said, what nonsense. David is a dead man. Imagine that stone coming and hitting Goliath, but he just said, you come with me with a stone. And then he approaches David. David is unarmed. Ah, honey, you got it. Faith that work, it's not going to work. It's very quiet. Nobody's saying amen. When I talk private jet, the other time people say amen. You know, Shane, you know, this is better than private jet. I didn't hear the enthusiasm.
Verse 2.
Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
You know it's possible to have revelation?
Yes. You can have revelation. But if love is not there, the revelation will not profit you. John the Baptist had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ. But when offense entered the heart, it darkened the revelation, and the revelation he had did not deliver him.
Lord have mercy.
You can know all the, you see, they, you can have all the right words, all the revelation, you know, you can quote all the scriptures and all of that. If those four stones are not in the bag, it cannot, it, and it's not, you see, you knowledge is at two levels. It's head knowledge and then revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge happens when the light from the heart is able to enlighten the one that is in the head. When, watch this, when there is offense and a lack of love in the heart, the light from the heart stops, but the one in the head is still there. And then when you now act on that one that is in the head without the light of the one from the heart, it won't work. It doesn't profit. The last one. I think I'm doing something nice this afternoon. Pastor Wale, isn't it time to take up an offering? I'm only joking. And that's what the boys from Babylon do. I don't do that here. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I'm about to destroy the Babylonic prosperity message under the Holy Spirit. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, it doesn't get higher than that. No greater love can no man do except he gives, you know, than to lay down his life for his friends. The Bible says you can do that, but if you don't have charity, it's going to profit you nothing. Come and give this 7,000. Come and do this. Come and if the four stones are not in the heart, if the love is not there, all that giving will not work. Let me correct you. It will work because the devil can give you money. Do you understand? But it will not profit you anything in the kingdom. Are you listening to me? I'm going to say something I've said it sometimes over the years, and I'm going to repeat it now. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I'm going to repeat it. Everybody repeat after me. Say, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So giving by itself is not the only evidence of love. You can give just to get the nuisance out of your way. They're disturbing. You've given, but there's no love. Say, Pastor, how will I know? How will I know? Very simple. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Do you endure long? Are you patient? Are you kind? Love is not boastful or vainglorious. Love does not display itself haughtily. Are you proud and show-offy? That's how you will know what's in your heart. He said, examine yourself. How do I know if I have love? I just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and I go through the checklist. If I can't mark it, then I don't have love. No matter how much I give, no matter how much I speak in tongues, no matter how well I have revelation knowledge, I can understand all the things Pastor Olubi has preached. I can understand all the things Paul has said and all of that. Because once you get initial revelation knowledge, after that, it goes into your head. So you understand. You can even preach it. But is there love in the heart? That love in the heart must stay there constantly. Love would have saved John the Baptist. What would make John, Jesus' first, Jesus' cousin, to be pushed to the point where he asks the most insulting question? One of the most in the scriptures. Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Kilo leto ye. I'm saying that in our language now. In our language that means, what could be so terrible? You, John, that God showed. He said, he that sent me to baptize, the same said unto me, he that you see, that the Spirit comes upon him, he it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I knew him not. And he said to him, that I need to be baptized of you, not you of me. Apart from that, he knew Jesus from when they were children. I knew that this guy is okay, man. And then he began to hear the lame walk. The blind see, the dead are raised. What else does John need? The reason why it is recorded in the Bible for our learning is that even when you know the right thing, if you don't maintain walking in love and you don't remove offense from your heart, you can know the right thing and do the wrong thing. All revelation, all of Paul. They said there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. And he was talking in the context of revelation. John the Baptist had the greatest revelation of all the prophets. I'll tell you the reason why. All the people were saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. John the Baptist said, he's here. I'm going to close soon. I think this message is more important than the rice and the dodo you're going to eat at home. I don't know about you. But I what I'm preaching to you is more important than anything that is waiting for you outside. I'm going to be done in a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. I'm going to close with this. I got some notes on it. So I just going to. Jesus is Lord. I said Jesus is Lord. Look at verse 17 and 18. He's talking about the whole armor of God. I'm not going to go into that. It's just the fruit of the Spirit. Take it from me, because God is love. You want to check yourself? Are you have fruit of the Spirit? How much love do you have? Yeah, these are simple questions. All of us can answer it. You can do a self-examination. How much joy do you have? How much peace do you have? How much long-suffering do you have? How much gentleness do you have? How much goodness do you have? How much faithfulness do you have? How much long-suffering do you have? How much patience do you have? Ask yourself. You can examine yourself. You can mark your own examination script now. It is the degree to which that is there that will now determine how effective the stone will kill Goliath. That is why in this last, I started in 2003, so it's how many years now? 18 years. We're 20 or 21 now. You know, I've been emphasizing the fear of God and the fruit of the Spirit. The fear of God. Before we go and pray in tongues. I know what I'm doing. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me. Because I know that if all those things are there and the other one is not there, the tongue is not going to be very effective. Quoting Bible and knowing Bible is not enough. It's important. It's very necessary. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not putting it down. But that Bible now must be enlightened by light and revelation from the heart. which is has love.
Verse 18.
And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying sometimes. Praying sometimes. With some prayer. And supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is the stone that must be coming out of your mouth constantly. It's going to kill the Goliath in the air. It's going to kill the Goliath in your mind. It's going to kill the Goliath in your will. It's going to kill the Goliath in your emotions. It's going to kill the Goliath in your physical body. And give you victory as a Christian in these end times.
Closing. Three things. This is
a little bit new. It's not new because I've said them in bits and pieces over the years, but I put by the Holy Spirit and the mercy and grace of God, I've put it all together, you know, in a comprehensive manner.
Last week we talked about united prayer in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit releases amplified power. By united praying in the Spirit, where two or three are gathered together in my name, you know, my Spirit, you know, when you are gathered together and my Spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true of the apostle, but it's true for all of us at small little levels. Not all of us are at Paul's level, but at small little levels, you know, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight, five will put 100 to flight, you know, 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. We have different capacities. You know, as we grow, our capacity begins to increase. There are captains over 10. There are captains over 50s. There are captains over 100s. Then there are captains over 1,000. The people, captain over 1,000, one can put 1,000 to flight. But the captains over 10s, it's going to take five of them to put 100 to flight. So each person needs to know his level of capacity and then grow. But it really doesn't matter. The important thing is that he said, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit used the power of God to concatenate. That means to join those prayer. He gathers them in the Spirit and gathers them together. And then he multiplies or amplifies them exponentially depending on the capacities of the people who are praying. The reality. And you know what happens? With that amplified power, you're doing three things. One, you're praying for all saints. Can you imagine? For all saints. How can you do that? Let me just keep it simple. God will take a part. You know, just like human governments tax our salaries. It's your own money. You work for it. But there's a certain amount of tax. In some places it's 10%. Some places it's 15%. You know, that the government would take to help the entire nation. In the same way, when we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost takes a certain amount of that power that you pray, that you've released in prayer, and used to pay off part of the prayer debt. Do you know all of us have a prayer debt? When you got born again, somebody else was praying for you. What kept you all your life? Like Jesus, it was Anna and Simeon that prayed him over 60 years. Somebody somewhere prayed for you. And so there is this deficit. So everybody, over time, you pay it off. You pay it off. You pay it off. That's why we pray for all saints. Number two, when you pray in the Spirit, you build your own self up. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Doesn't matter what you are praying about, you yourself get some benefit personally. That's why we pray with supplication. Especially the first supplication, it helps you with your own infirmities. That's why intercessors, Bobby said this to Pastor Guega, and that was what made him inspired him to join the lead intercessors many, many years ago when he joined the church. He said, you want to grow? Do a lot of praying. And it's still true till today. When you pray a lot in the Spirit, you yourself benefit. Then number three, when you pray in the Spirit, the majority of that power is now used to birth the answer to the prayer request you are praying about. So praying in the Spirit can never be selfish. It can never be self-centered. Some of it is used for all saints. Some of it is used for you to grow, you know, to be built up. And some of it is used to answer birth the answer to your prayer. But all of that only works when the other four stones are in the bag. Stand to your feet. Put the other four stones. Make sure they are in the bag. So that that one stone of praying in the spirit. And observe the words he used here. There are two alls there. Always and all prayer. Always means it's something you do all the time. You know, a good habit I've developed now, you know, I've been developing over the years. You know, I pray all the time. I'm going to Lagos in the car, I'm praying. I'm in somewhere, I just pause. I have my prayer this thing on my watch, on my phone. You know, I pray in units of an hour. So I'm praying something and I have to do something, I just put it on pause. Now I go and do whatever I want to do, you know. Then I come back, I put it off again. I'm praying. I've learned that what the man said is what he meant, not our own interpretation of it. Praying always. And anybody can do it. It just depends on, you know, how committed you are. It doesn't mean you're going to be praying 24 hours a day. No. It just means that every time when you are free, you pray in the spirit. When you're free, you pray in the spirit. You're free, you pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. The five stones of David. Don't be afraid of Goliath. He's bread for you. Did you hear me? I said he's bread for you. He's bread for you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Goliath is bread for you. What you need to do is develop this habit with these four stones in the background. Revelation of the life of God, revelation of the mercy of God, revelation of the grace of God, revelation of the love of God. When they're in your heart, the praying in the spirit will be very effective. And you will kill Goliath. I didn't hear a convincing amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, we have an obituary. Goliath and his brothers are all dead. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. How glory to God.
You are worthy. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
You are awesome in our lives.
You are awesome.
You are awesome in our lives,
mighty God.
Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome. Hallelujah.
You are awesome in our
lives. Abba Father.
Abba Father.
You are worthy of our praise.
You are awesome
in our lives.
Mighty
one more time. You are awesome in our land. In our land.
You are awesome in our land.
Mighty God.
You are awesome
in our land. Abba Father.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand. Brethren, our God is an awesome God. It's not just talk. The problem is that we've been blocking him. Not allowing him to release his awesomeness through us the way he wants to. He said, oh, that my people are submitted, then I should soon have subdued their enemies. The devil is no match for God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, they are no match for the Holy Ghost. Put that hand up. Touch your heart.
It's just symbolic of honesty and sincerity. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are raising up an end time Davidic company that will deal and overcome the Goliath of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the prince of the power of the air. To overcome the lust of the flesh in our lives personally and in the air over the governments of our land, especially Nigeria. Father, oh, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to keep this stone of revelation, of prayer in the spirit, in my mouth, to be killing every day, crucifying every day, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the prince of the power of the air, so that all the earth may know, all the earth may know that you are the God of Israel that rules in the affairs of men. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Help me keep the four stones of revelation of your life, revelation of your mercy, revelation of your grace, and revelation of your love in my heart, so that the stone of prayer in the spirit that's coming out of my mouth will be effective. In Jesus' name, amen. Mercy, Lord. Romato, mercy, Father. Shela prikitolo matolo matofre dengardolo matofre. Lord Jesus, thank you. La prikantolo matofre dengaras. Holy Spirit, thank you. Lambrikitolo mashela ba. Rikatofre, nonga dala matushkofre. Lambrikamatolo matofre. Thank you for your blood. Shela prikitofre ne. Thank you for your life. Shela predelas. Thank you for your power. Nikatolo masha. Lambrikamatofre des. Dolo matukla matolo matofre des. Dolo matofre deka kaka matofre. In Jesus' name. As our cousin, we're going to pray for the sick. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from the destruction. God wants you healed so that you can be strong to fulfill your assignment. You can't go to Afghanistan if you are sick. Even I died here, you can't go. You'd be afraid of laying hands on the sick because you think maybe the sickness will affect you. It should be the other way around. Have you ever noticed that heat always goes from high temperature to low temperature? It never goes from low temperature to high temperature. You have a high alarm anointing in your life. The power goes down. It cannot come up. The sickness cannot come up and infect you. The power inside you will infect the sickness and heal it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. If you need healing, just raise your hand or just stretch forth your hands. If you are home, stretch your hand towards your device. Father, we thank you for your word. Your Bible tells us that your word, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We thank you that the power of the Lord is present to heal. And therefore, we release healing power now into every body here, every physical body here where their hands are outstretched in the name of Jesus. And we come against spirits of infirmity. We come against spirits of depression and oppression. We cast you out. We destroy your works. Resist now. We bind you in Jesus' name. Say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. And you are delivered in Jesus' name. Just say, I receive my healing. And I receive my deliverance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mommy. Yes, thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation.
even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to neighbor and say, you are using the five stones of David to daily crucify Goliath and all his brothers, so all the earth will know that your God rules in the affairs of men. In Jesus' name, amen.